The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.
Hello and welcome to this Right Stand podcast. I'm Anand Narasimhan. एक पुराना गाना है, I think it was picturized on देवानंद रफी की आवाज में, which said क्या से क्या हो गया बेवफा तेरे प्यार में. I think of that when I think of the Shiv Sena. क्या से क्या हो गया बेवफा कुर्सी के प्यार में. Where the party was about 72 hours ago and where it is today, it finds itself at odds because where all politics used to be centered around Matushri at one point in time during the time of Balasaheb Thackeray, where people used to go to meet Balasaheb. Now Uddhav Thackeray is doing the rounds. They're making him run around all of Mumbai, trying to meet with the Congress, then meet with the NCP, then meet with his own MLAs. He's all over the place. There is news that a certain Mr. Prashant Kishore, who's now the political strategist and master political strategist, is the one who's advised him to be adamant and insist on the CM's chair, because he's trying to make sure that he also hedges the bets of a certain Mr. Nitish Kumar and the JDU ahead of the Bihar elections and also running up to 2024. What has happened is that the Sena has ended up committing political harakiri quite literally, because right now they do not hold the bargaining chips either with the BJP or with the NCP Congress. Because now the NCP and the Congress party are going to wait for it to brew, the situation to continue to be on the boil, because they have 6 months' time. Even if they don't have a government by the turn of the year, it doesn't matter. But what will matter is that increasingly with each passing day, the NCP and the Congress's perceived political capital will go up and the Shiv Sena's perceived political capital will only slip. There's pressure from the corporates that they don't want this kind of instability, especially when there was a clear mandate and they want the Shiv Sena to get back with the BJP and sort things out. But now this is somebody who's out on an ego trip. Ab ahankar dubata hai, uthata nahi. Pride only leads to fall. And this is a big folly by the Shiv Sena. That's my personal opinion, because the BJP will gain in the long run. The NCP Congress will gain. Perhaps the NCP will gain. But the Shiv Sena is going to end up being a loser, because one of the conditions the NCP is now going to put is a 50-50 term condition, that 50% for NCP and 50% for Shiv Sena. That means 2.5 year term. The other aspect is that there will be a Congress party member who will be a perennial deputy chief minister. So what is Uddhav Thackeray getting now? Except for the fact that there will be a Thackeray or a Shiv Sena on the, as the chief minister, the Shiv Sena is going to get only 1/3 of the deal, perhaps lesser, and no say. And after 2.5 years, there is going to be no Shiv Sena either as the chief minister or deputy chief minister. So it's quite literally they're going to sweep the Sena away out. On paper, 2.5 years, but it could be earlier. There would be such situations created that it would become untenable for an Uddhav Thackeray or somebody to continue. Don't they see the politics? That's the way it's going to play out. A known devil is always better than an unknown one. And in this case, despite a bad marriage, rough marriage, rocky road, whatever, at least they were ideological twins, the BJP and the Shiv Sena, and they still are. And there they would have made do, and they know how to deal with each other. This is the biggest mistake, and years of working hard and trying to keep the Sena afloat, they've just run it aground. That's the sense one gets. How are they going to salvage themselves from here? Well, one has to see. Nobody's underestimating Uddhav Thackeray's political acumen and understanding, but somewhere he seems to have taken the wrong advice. Anyway, but we're not debating Maharashtra today, because that situation is going to be perennially on the boil. We'll keep close tabs on the developments. What we're going to talk about is that, ladies and gentlemen, in certain parts of our country, especially the national capital, you can't breathe, because breathing is hazardous to your health. Aap Delhi mein saans lenge to aapke phephde jalenge. फेफड़े तो जलेंगे या बीमार भी पड़ेंगे. तो यू आर चोक्ड, आप सांस ले नहीं सकते. सांस ले ली तो देन योर पॉकेट्स आर गोइंग टू गेट पिंच्ड, बिकॉज आपको डॉक्टर के पास दौड़ना पड़ेगा, दवाई का इंतजाम करना पड़ेगा. अलोंग विद द फैक्ट दैट देर इज नो अकाउंटेबिलिटी, नोबडी इज गोइंग टू टेक रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी फॉर पुटिंग यू थ्रू दिस. ऑड इवन आप करो, वो भी आप झेलो. गंदी हवा आप झेलो. गलती किसकी? अगर आपकी गलती है, दैट इज द आम आदमी और द कॉमन पर्सन गलती, देन यू आर ऑल्सो अटोनिंग फॉर इट बाई driving your car, your vehicle on odd days, or even days, on alternate days. But what about those who are getting away with it despite scathing Supreme Court orders. Governments, successive governments, be it the center, be it the Delhi state government or the state governments of Haryana and Punjab. Punjab mein to parali khoob jal rahi hai. Now, as on today, 25-30% of the pollution in northern India, especially around the Delhi UP belt, is because of stubble burning in Punjab. And this is the paddy stubble that's being burnt, and it's going to continue to be burnt right through November. So your air quality is going to get bad, hazardous, and remain hazardous for a long, long time. Adults are struggling. Imagine what it's doing to young children, infants, toddlers, who are walking around to school and they are saying, Mama, mask de do, Papa, mask de do. They're not even bothered about their school bags or bottles or uniform. They're just saying, mask, Papa, mask. The air is so dirty, Papa. That's the reaction. Is that fair? Is this what we voted for? Is this what we get from governments who've been elected and who should take responsibility? Where is the culpability here? Why is this not criminal that somebody's right to breathe has been snatched away? Why is this not a serious problem and why is there no accountability? We're going to take this up tonight on debate number one. And debate number two, where do you draw the line between faith and law? What should get primacy? Equality, as the law allows us, or faith? Because the courts have just said in the Ram Mandir verdict that we are not getting into the realm of somebody's belief and faith. We are looking at it objectively. If that is the case, then should women be allowed, women of all ages be allowed entry into Sabarimala? Or should the faith of those who believe in the deity, that is Ayyappa, and the rules of the deity, will be upheld? Because they believe that they are not discriminating among the sexes. They are just creating a differentiation that women of a certain age cannot enter. Does this argument hold? Because that is the belief. That is the faith around Ayyappa, who's deemed to be a Naishtika Brahmachari or an eternal celibate. A kid, because the deity is supposed to be a minor, just about 14 to 15 years of age. And that is why the influence of women who have attained puberty should not be there, so that it doesn't corrupt the deity and distract the deity from the deity's said goal. Fact of the matter is, there are many temples in Kerala which are for women only, because that is the rule of the deity or the presiding deity of that particular temple. So, should men be allowed in such temples then? Will that ruling then come forth? Where do you draw the line between law and faith? Where do you draw the line between the rights as per the fundamental rights as per our constitution and what each deity or belief, faith allows? There are traditions which have been followed for centuries, and there are those which have been modified and brought in place. So how do you sift it? Where would you stand? Would you say that let's give women the right? If they truly believe in the deity Lord Ayyappa, they will follow the rules of the deity. Otherwise, they should have the right to choose what they want to do. And if that is the case, ladies and gentlemen, this judgment can open a Pandora's box. Because there will be many other litigants across faiths who can then stake claim based on this judgment and the observations made by the courts as far as the Ram Mandir verdict is concerned, where Ram Lala Virajman was deemed the deity and was allowed the juristic entity or rights over the land where Ram Lala was born or is believed to be born as the Janmasthan. Interesting one. The courts are going to decide this on the morrow, but we will debate it tonight. I'll see you there.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.